title of this message. Can you say this with me? The what? Mystery. Now I gotta have your help. This is the way we do it. Come on, one more time. The mystery. How many like mysteries? Amen?
Like to watch mysteries.
All right. That's what the Bible talks about. In chapter 3, it talks about a mystery. And so much of this stuff we've seen so far has been sort of mind-blowing. I'm a saint. I'm adopted in the family of God. It was like getting hit by a Mack truck, all these things I have in Jesus. Amen? Today, the mystery. Chapter 3. Let's look at it. Here we go. Got the magnifying glass. The word mystery, I always have in my office my handy-dandy little Webster dictionary. About that big, and it's about sort of wore out. Because if you come from Rockingham, you need one of these. Amen? So anyway, I got me one. So, I've had it for years, and I love it. The word mystery means something not readily explained. It means secret. You know what a mystery is? Say, it's a mystery to me. I don't know. It's a what? Mystery. All right, so that's what the word means. It also means this. A story based on the solution of a criminal case. And that's what you like watching, isn't it, say? Like watching on TV, you like to watch a story based on the solution of a criminal case. And don't you hate it when you get in and they don't tell you what happened? Say, that's stupid. Or they write it and it doesn't make any sense, right? Okay? That's what the word mystery means. So let's go now with that in our head and let's see what we can find this morning in Ephesians chapter 3. Isn't it a mystery? So far we've seen some stuff. That somehow you and me, who were dead in trespasses and sins, were now made alive in Jesus Christ. Isn't that a mystery? Say, let's praise Him for it, that I'm alive. Come on. Man! It's a mystery to me how God would love me like that. Look at another one. Isn't it a mystery that somehow you and me, believers in Jesus Christ, are now His body, we're His temple, to think that the Holy Spirit of the living God is somehow inside of us. Is that a mystery? You just got it all figured out. Say. That's some deep stuff, ain't it? Say. Come on. How about this one? Isn't it a mystery that somehow you and me, Gentiles, non-Jews, foreigners and strangers of the Commonwealth of Israel, are now no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens because of the blood of Christ. Isn't that a mystery, say, that somehow now we are God's people. We have a relationship with God. You see what I'm saying? Isn't that a mystery? Isn't that crazy? That's what this chapter is all about. Okay? It's a mystery that God would choose on purpose to love us. Isn't that a mystery, say? If you think you're so big and bad and great, I know why God loves me because I'm just so great. You are crazy. And we want to beat you up. Okay? I'm serious. If you really think it through, come on. Come on. Isn't it a mystery that God would choose to love me on purpose? Wow. Now, God loving Gentiles, non-Jews, was a secret to Gentiles and Jews. In the Old Testament, listen, before Jesus came, it was a secret that God loved Gentiles. Okay? Now keep listening. Don't turn me off. As a matter of fact, the Jews called Gentiles what? Dogs. And that's not to put the Jewish people down. When you read the Old Testament and you see it, that's exactly the way it played out. They were God's chosen people. Okay? So isn't it a mystery that somehow God loves us, Gentiles, now? It's phenomenal. Keep looking. Now the Apostle Paul's writing to the Gentile believers. Certainly, that's what this chapter's talking about. Non-Jewish believers at the church at Ephesus. So when we look at this chapter, that's what we're seeing. This is written to Gentiles, people like us. Amen? Did the book of Ephesians address a real problem? Was there something really screwed up in this church, yes or no? No. A lot of Paul's writings, it was something he was trying to correct, fix, there's a problem, watch out! Wasn't anything like that in this book. It seems to be a little more, you know, elusive. And I think we've pegged it by what Jesus said in the book of Revelation. He said to the church at Ephesus, you've done this, you've done great, you're standing from the Word. I have one thing against you, you've left your first what? love. Paul mentions the word love, I think, 9 times in this little book. In all of his 13 total letters, he mentioned love 20 times. It sounds like this church might have a problem with the love of God and staying close to God's love and knowing that God loves us. And I've been saying it in this series. It seems so often we accept God's love. We become a Christian, then we in charge. We take over. We start making the rules. Do this, do that, and boy, can it go crazy. And excuse me, I don't want to be ugly, but if you turn on the TV lately, it looks like a lot of people are worshiping the Pope. Excuse me. Hey. We worship Jesus Christ. Can you say that with me? We worship Jesus Christ. I know that's a slam, and some of you are going to hate me for saying that. I'm all for a man who's good and teaches morals and all that kind of stuff. I'm for that. But let me tell you, it's something, though, in our church, in any church, how you can start to have these rules and we start to be in charge and it gets off of whack, out of whack. Is that true? Yes or no? Okay? So, he writes this letter. These are people just like you and me. In Ephesians chapter 3, Paul gives explanation of the mystery of God's love for us, and we're fixing to pick up steam here. Now, in a mystery, you usually have, say it with me, a who, a when, a what, and a... Can we try that one more time? In a mystery, you usually have a who, a, and a... So let's look at a mystery. Here we go. You ready? Come on. The who. Who is the who? Who is the who in a mystery? Here we go. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. The who is the Apostle Paul. The who is the Apostle Paul in this mystery. And there's another who too in a minute. But the who that we're going to look at now is the Apostle Paul. Look at, he was in prison when he wrote this letter to the church at Ephesus. He was a prisoner of Rome. Because he preached the gospel of Christ, they've locked him up now. He's in prison. He's writing these letters. We call them prison epistles. Ephesians 3:1, for this cause I, Paul, say it with me, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. So he was in prison. But wait a minute, let's find out something else about Paul. He was not just imprisoned by the Romans, but he was a prisoner of Jesus. And some of you know your Bible and you've seen this. Some of you are growing in the Lord and you're discovering these things, so I'm going to share it with you. Acts 9. How did Paul become a prisoner of Jesus? How did Paul become captured by Jesus Christ? I want you to see this man. Look at it. Acts 9, verse 1. And who? Saul. Not Paul. His name used to be what? Saul of where? Where did he live? Tarsus. That's right. Okay? He was a radical, extreme Jew. Would that be correct? Yes or no? He was a what? A zealot. I mean, he went full bore for Jehovah God as a Jew. It was all Jew or nothing, baby. That was it. Is that the truth? Okay? And look at chapter 9. In chapter 7 of Acts, you actually see a man named Stephen, who's a disciple of Jesus Christ. He's actually being stoned for his faith. And the men lay the clothes at whose feet? A man named who? Saul. This is what he did for a living. He went and arrested people who were people of the way. Look at it. And Saul, Acts 9, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. This is what he did. He went unto the high priest. Why did he go? Look at verse 2. He desired of him, give me a letter so I can go to Damascus and to the synagogues, and that if I find any of this way, the people of the way of Jesus Christ, whether they are men or women, I can bring them back bound into Jerusalem. That's what he wanted to do. A passion. He had a passion to get these Christians. Are you feeling it? Yes or no? This is the man. Now, isn't that a mystery, say, that a guy like this would somehow now share the gospel with us? Dogs? It's weird. And as he journeyed, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly there shone a light round about him, a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth. A light came from heaven, knocked him on the ground. And he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Who was talking to him? Look at it. And he said, who art thou? Say it with me. Lord. And the Lord said, say it with me. I am Jesus, whom you persecute. It's hard for you now, ain't it, boy, to kick against the sticks, the pricks, the goads. You're used to being on the other end of the stick. Now you ain't. You're on the ground. Did you see that? Yes or no? And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what will you have me do? This radical Jewish zealot against the children of Jesus Christ, the followers of Jesus Christ. Is he singing a different tune? Yes or no? And the Lord said unto him, arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what you must do. Check it out sometime and read what happened. He went there. He was to meet a man named Ananias. And buddy, let me tell you something. Ananias wasn't real tickled about this meeting, because he knew this guy. This is a guy who kills, imprisons Christians. This is not a guy I want to be seeing. So check it out, verse 13. Then Ananias answered the Lord, who told him to entertain him, work with him, listen to him. He said, Lord, I've heard many things of this man, how evil he hath done to the saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on your name. But the Lord said unto him, go your way. For he is a, say it with me, chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the who? Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now listen, have I lost you yet or no? Y'all still with me? Thank the Lord. Alright, here we go. So the who of this mystery is the Apostle Paul. Isn't it mysterious? Isn't it strange? Isn't it crazy how God would take the most radical guy of the day and do a total 180 in his life, and now he's going this way? Isn't that good stuff, say? How many in here we got like that? That was your life. Can I see some hands? Praise the Lord. Come on. That was me, baby. I was going and boom. You know, God's still changing stuff. You hear change in the election all the time. Change, 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 change. Let me tell you something. We're talking some change. Jesus Christ can change your life. He can change your life. And he did that in the Apostle Paul. Beautiful thing, too, is he changed him in such a way, forget it, he won't welcome with the Jews anymore at all. He didn't have no choice. If you want to be preaching, there's a whole other world out there that you got to go preach to. And that's the way Jesus worked in his life. And that's a mystery. And that's what this is telling us. He was made a special minister to the Gentiles. And you might think, why is Clark telling me all this? What does this have to do with my life? You know what it has to do with your life? I'm going to tell you what it has to do with your life. You're just as prone as anybody else to falling away from the love of God. You're just as prone as anybody else to getting complacent. It's important that you know how much God loves you, what He went through, how special you are, and where you are now in Jesus Christ is because of Him. And He had a special plan, the way He put this all together to bring you to Himself. Are you listening? It's big in your life. It's important. He was a special minister. Ephesians 3. We're still in Ephesians 3. Look at another verse or two. He said, I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all the saints. Wonder why he talks like that. You think he had regrets for who he'd imprisoned? You think Paul looked at himself as some big dog? Yes or no? Matter of fact, if you know your Bible, say it with me. He said, I am the chief of what? Sinners. But he was special. This man was a special man that he should preach among the who? Gentiles, non-Jews, the unsearchable riches of who? Christ. So, stay with me and don't go to sleep on me. Here we go. So, the who is who? The Apostle Paul of this mystery. Wait a minute. The who is you too. Okay? The who of this mystery is you too. Let's look at it. For you who? Gentiles. We'll read verses 1 through 3. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you who? Gentiles. How many have ever had a you who? They're pretty good, ain't they? All right, let's keep going. Here we go. Number 2. If you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to who? You. How that by revelation He made known unto me the what? There's our word. Mystery. Do you think it was a mystery to Saul, who's now Paul, that God wanted to save the Gentiles? You think that was a mystery to him, yes or no?
You think that was something that was pretty hard to understand? Can't believe it?
Yeah. So He loves you. The who of this mystery is not only Paul, but it's you too. God loves you. Can you say this with me, all of us? We are special to God, and by His marvelous grace, God sent us a special servant to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Don't get away from God's love. Don't ever think that somehow I'm good enough. I give some money. I look this way. I do this. You're none of that. It's all because of God's grace, your love. Amen? Don't get away from that. Always be at His feet. Always love Him. Look at what He did for us. A special plan. A mystery. He preached the gospel. Demonstration, illustration of the gospel that Paul preached is 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. If you need to, write it down, mark it, check it out. Read it with me. I'll read, you just follow along. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believe in vain. This is the gospel. Say it with me. For I delivered unto you, help me, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That was the message Paul had to the Gentiles. God loves you. Jesus loves you. He died for you. And buddy, let me tell you something. This blew their mind. Amen? It's crazy. So it was a mystery, this whole thing. So the who, we've seen the who. Let's move forward. It goes a little faster now. The when. When did this thing take place? When did this mystery thing unfold? Okay? When was this secret revealed? Watch it. The mystery that Gentiles, that's non-Jewish people, were redeemed by the grace of God was not known by any Old Testament saint. Now, you can argue with me later if you want to, and people argue in split churches over Ephesians every day. Okay? So there's nothing new to get an argument out of this. But the fact of the matter is, see what the Bible says in Ephesians. Look at it. Which in other ages was not what? Made known unto what? The sons of men. As it is now revealed unto His holy apostles and prophets by the what? Spirit. Man, this was a mystery. This was crazy. Have I lost y'all? Are y'all still with me? Are you lost or no? Thank the Lord. Here we go. So the when did this mystery take place? To who? Okay, here's when it took place. When Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose from the dead. Amen? Praise Him for that this morning. Come on. Woo! Now listen to me. Why is that important? It's so important. So often, sometimes we think, well, I'll get to heaven if my good works outweigh the bad. Isn't that dumb to think that? Think it through. Did your good works have anything to do with the mystery, yes or no? No, you ain't in the story. You're in the who because He loved you. That's the only who you are. Okay? This took place when Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead. Several scriptures in Hebrews, and I'm just going to read them to you. I want you to look at it. You can go to the website and check all this stuff out too if you'd like to. And there's even more scriptures we'll have there for you. Hebrews 10. For the law, Old Testament, having a shadow of things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices, all those sacrifices they made, which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto what? Perfect. Offering this, offering that, doing this, doing that, could never make you whole. Okay? For it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away your what? Sins. This was all part of the plan of God and the masterpiece of God's design and plan. Verse 9. Then said He, Lo, I come to do Thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that He may establish the second, Jesus Christ. By the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of who? Jesus. What? Once for what? All. So when did this happen, this mystery? When He died on the cross and rose from the dead. But this man, Jesus, after He had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, He sat down on the right hand of God. Hallelujah. From henceforth, hereforth, expecting till His enemies be made His footstool, for by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my law into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquity, say it with me, will I remember no more? Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Look at it. Mystery by a what? New and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. Now I know that's deep stuff. But the who of the mystery is Paul, and the who is you. The when of the mystery is when Jesus died on the cross and He rose from the dead. Hallelujah. We could be saved by grace. And that's where we're at right now. We are in that dispensation of grace, that age of grace, where it's up to you, friend. Do you believe in Jesus or not? You have the opportunity to respond to Him. Okay, if I lost you, some of you are looking like, oh, he's crazy. It's hard to preach with people looking at you like that. Here we go. We're going to keep trying. Here we go. We don't quit easy. So the who, the when, and now the what. The what of this mystery. Under the law, Gentiles, non-Jews, had to somehow try to become Jews through proselytization. That's a big old fancy word, which means to convert. They couldn't become Jewish physically, but they could become Jewish religiously. Does that make sense? That was the way it used to be. And so this is a mystery. How did all this happen and things change? And what's up with that? So what is the mystery? Here's the mystery. Ephesians 3:6. That the Gentiles, non-Jews, should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel. So what is the mystery? Here it is. That Gentiles should be fellow heirs and that Gentiles shall be partakers. Amen? Guess what? We're in. Can you praise the Lord? Come on. Little crazy, but we're in. Are we in because we're good? Yes or no? No. Are we in because of the blood of Jesus? Yeah. Getting it? Why are we going over this stuff? To keep you from falling away from the love of God. To keep you on your best day humble and appreciative for God's amazing grace. Amen? No wonder that song's made it so long and still a big hit. Amen? To us sinners. Amen? So that is the what. And now, we're coming down the road. The why. The why. Why would God do this when He could just snap His fingers? You know what I mean? Why did He do this back here and He did this up here? Isn't it sort of strange, say, that He would put this plan together? It's crazy. Let's see why He says He did it. Ephesians 3:9 through 12. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, these are some big old verses right here. They'll blow your mind, blow your head right off your shoulders. Here we go. Verse 10. Why? To the intent now and to the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith in Him. Okay? What's the why here? Why the mystery? Here's the why. Here's why God did this. This unusual plan according to the Word of God. Here's the deal. Because God is a gracious God and a God of great wisdom, and He wants everybody, everywhere to know it. Okay? You know why He didn't do it your way? Because He didn't want to do it your way. He could care less about your way. Alright? He's God, you're not. He had a plan, we don't understand it, but I do know this. Before the very foundations of the world, He loved you and me. And He laid out a plan. And it was hard for people to understand. It's still hard for people to understand today that God loves them. But God loves you. And He put this moment in history, in time, where He had a Son, Jesus, who would come and die on a cross and raise from the dead. And that story is so compelling. Amen? to draw you and to magnify His Son and Himself. Matter of fact, why did He do this? Because He wants the whole world to know. The Scriptures even says, even the angels and the demons know about the mystery of God's love for you. Now, I want you to think about that. I think this book is to help us stay close to the love of God. And did you know, sometimes we don't think God loves us. We get away from Him. Listen, did you know angels and even demons know God loves you? Devils know how much God loves you. That's what that says. This was part of God's plan. God wanted to put on display how much He loved you and loved me. Amen? Demons, they tremble at a message like this, my friend. It's the love of God that constrains us. Hallelujah. Amen? It's a wonderful thing. So keep looking. So here's the mystery. Here it is. Say it with me. God loves. One more time. God loves. Can we make it personal? Me. God loves. One more time. God loves. That's the mystery. I'm a Gentile. I'm a dog. I know y'all don't like us talking like that because we live in that nice age now because you can't say nothing bad about yourself. But let me tell you something. That's what I am. That's what I am. Gary Clark in his own strength, filthy, nasty, dirty. And God loved me. That is a mystery. Isn't it great? Why would I get away from Him? Where could I go? But to the Lord. Amen. Keep looking. He closes out this with a prayer, and I'm not going to preach it. I'm going to read it, and a couple of points are going to pop up. He closes out a prayer. In this chapter 3, he prays that you'll know this. Let's see if we can get it in a prayer. Pop it up. For this cause, Paul writing, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Can you say that with me? God's love is vast enough to reach the world. He keeps praying. That He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love... Say it with me. God's love is specific enough to reach you personally. Wow! What a mystery! He keeps praying that you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Pop the point up, say it with me. God's love is powerful enough to blow your mind. If you read this through, the book of Ephesians, and your head don't about pop off your neck, something's wrong with you. You are loved by God. You might not have everything. You might not be in the same position other people are. You might not have what other people have. But let me tell you something. You are loved by God. He loves you. So don't you come up telling me God doesn't love you. He loves you to pieces today. Amen? That is the mystery. We're done. What is a mystery? Say it with me. Something not readily explained. I'd say this qualifies this passage of Scripture. It's tough, man. A mystery is a secret. But there was another definition to mystery, and don't lose me here. This is important. There's another definition to a mystery. Here it is. A mystery is also a story based on the solution of a criminal case. Okay? Pop it up, Raj. Do you know the story of your eternal future is based on the solution of a criminal case? Your eternal future is based on the solution of a criminal case. Your eternal life is based on a mystery. There are two tremendous mysteries or closed cases. By the way, a mystery is a story based on the solution of a criminal case. It's not ongoing anymore, is it? Say, case is closed. And here's the deal. The Bible says this, criminal case. Okay? Adam sinned against God. Adam what? Help me. Died. Because Adam died, we all do what? Die. And also we're all what? Sinners. That case is closed. You can cry till the cows come home. You're going to die one day. And you're also a sinner. Don't argue with me on it. It's the truth. Okay? It's a closed case. Now, if you want to, your eternal future can be based on that closed case if you'd like it to. You can leave it right there, and you can stay in Adam, and you cannot believe in Jesus Christ if you want to, because that is a closed case. Is that correct? Yes or no? See, it's a closed case. But if you want your eternal future to not be based on that closed case, then you got to pick the other closed case. And the other closed case is there was a man named Jesus. You know the story, I think. Your Bible is so full of details about Jesus Christ coming to this earth, living on this planet, and then it gets really seriously full of details when He is apprehended and goes to the what? Cross. It's not a little thing in your Bible. It's detail after detail after detail. People's names, places, where they're at. Talks about the Romans, what they said, thief on the cross, spear in the side. Is that true, yes or no? Detail after detail after detail after detail after detail. Why? Because God's making a case. Even tells you the man named Joseph of Arimathea that begged for his body that he'd like to bury him in his tomb. Is that true or false? Yes or no? Of course it's true. Tells you how the Romans set a guard. Tells you how that 3 days later, he wasn't there. He arose. It tells us in the book of Corinthians that he was seen of Peter. He was seen of disciples. He was seen of more disciples. It says actually that he was seen of how many at one time? 500 at one time. Let me tell you something. I'm not a lawyer, but I'll tell you this. If you had 500 witnesses that say they saw something, you're toast. Okay? What am I saying? Here's what I'm saying, and I hope I didn't lose you. I tried not to. Here's the deal. Listen. Case closed. Jesus Christ lived. Jesus Christ died. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. It's up to you in which case you believe in. See, a mystery is a story based on the solution of a criminal case. Which case are you in? Say. You don't have to do anything to be in this case. And you can't work your way over here into this case. The case of Christ. What does the Bible say to us if we're to be Christians? Here's what the Bible says. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Case closed. That whosoever what? Believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. It's not by works that you're going to do that's going to get you in this case, baby. It's by believing that this case is closed. Are you there? Say. Have you believed that? Have you put your faith in the closed case? That is a mystery. Isn't that amazing? That little old me and sorry old me could somehow believe in this closed case and have eternal life and forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. Let's give Him glory and praise this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord.